Revelations chapter 1. Verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the revelation, the revealing of Jesus Christ. Everything always points back to him. Amen. Which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Somebody say, the time is at hand. Now, somebody can read this and think, well, wasn't this written 2,000 years ago? If things must shortly come to pass, then, you know, are these things that already took place? What's the deal? Is this the time is at hand if he was writing this 2,000 years ago? Well, the Bible tells us that one day of God is like 1,000 years to us, and 1,000 years is this one day. You know, when he's talking about time, he's on God's time, not on our time. And a lot of times we want to say, God, hurry up, get all this done quickly. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to come meet you. And he said, everything will be fulfilled in its season. As a matter of fact, the disciples, they were also really anxious. And they said to Jesus, right before he went to heaven, they said, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said that it is not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has put into his own hand. Saints, I believe that we have entered into a season that is the culmination of all of the things that the great men of God before us, you know, have been looking for, that the prophets have seen, that the end time is upon us and the end time harvest is upon us. You know, Jesus didn't say pray that the harvest would be great. He said there's plenty of people to harvest. He said just pray that there will be plenty of laborers that go in there. The problem is not that there's not enough people out there to witness to. The problem is not that people don't want to get saved, that people don't want to hear the good news of the gospel. The problem is the people that are sitting in the churches aren't taking that good news out of the churches. It's not a harvest problem, it's a laborer problem. But this church isn't like that. We take it out. As a matter of fact, it was so interesting as I was walking through the airport today. When you walk through the airport, you see a lot of interesting people. Have you ever noticed that? Do you ever like to just people watch, sit there and just watch just this kaleidoscope of people that just have different nationalities, different shapes, sizes, colors. I mean, it's just you get all kinds of different people in the airport. And but I came up behind this guy that was walking with a cane, but it looked like that it was that maybe it was a blind man's cane, you know, although he seemed to be getting around pretty good. I don't know how a person can't see and know exactly where they're supposed to go. And I was in a hurry to go catch my next flight, but I thought about that. I saw myself in that instance stopping for just a moment. I did not act this out. I saw this inside of stopping and laying hands on him and just ministering the gospel to him and watching him get healed. And I thought about that all the way to my next flight. But it wasn't a question of whether or not he was going to get healed or anything like that. It was that this image is being formed on the inside of me. See, you got to see it before you're going to see it. See it in here. See yourself doing it. Watch yourself going out into the marketplace, seeing somebody that's crippled, seeing somebody that's sick. Watch them and see in your mind's eye as you lay hands on them and watch them recover. Expect it. Expect it everywhere that you go. Blessed is he that reads and that hears the words of this prophecy, for the time is at hand. Thank you, Lord. John, verse 4, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Notice the salutation. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. So this is just describing the Trinity right here. From him, talking about God the Father, which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. The prince of the kings of the earth. Who are the kings of the earth? We are. Not the rulers over nations. We are the kings of the earth. We're going to see that here in just a moment. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And hath what? Made us what? Kings and priests unto God and his Father. What do kings do? They rule. Kings rule. Now, this doesn't say he's going to make us kings. This says that he has made us kings. When you became born again, you were made a king or a queen, if you will. If you have a problem with the word king, and a priest unto God. Now, Romans chapter 5 says that they that receive, and we looked at this Sunday, but they that receive abundance of grace shall rule and reign in life by Jesus Christ. We were never intended to be servants to death, to be servants to the world, to be servants to what's going on. We have been created in his image, and the Bible says that our citizenship is not here on the earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, we've talked for the last couple of weeks about, you know, God said, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Higher thoughts, higher ways. And so the Lord's really been talking to me over the last day or two about our position of no limits. Of no limits. Now, Jesus said it this way. He said to the man who came, whose son had been demon-possessed, he said, Master, please heal my son. And he said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible. All things. Last Wednesday, as people were coming forward to be prayed for healing, and the presence of God was so strong, then right there at the end, Seth stood up because he is tired of wearing glasses. He is ready to see a manifestation of that. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that situation, because I believe that it's important for me as a pastor, and I told you this on particularly as we go through Wednesday nights, that I want to be very transparent about everything that happens as we are all growing in the grace of God together. Okay, so I want to talk to you a little bit about kind of what I went through internally for a second. It was so funny because I was talking to Chad afterwards, not after that, but Sunday, he was asking me the question. He said, how come is it that sometimes it seems like, getting healing for your eyes can be so difficult? I said, well, part of the problem is you're always seeing the problem. I mean, you just are, you know, and so you've got to get beyond what you're seeing naturally and get to where you are seeing clearly by the eye of faith, by what's going on the inside. And I recognize that because I wear glasses as well. So, I mean, I understand it. And so, because Chad said, look, if Seth he had gotten a manifestation right then, I was next. I was coming down there. I was ready to go. So Seth and I have continued to talk about it. But I want to tell you what was going on and what I was hearing the voice of God say. Because when Seth stood up, I was not expecting it. And I was like, you know, son, you know, what do you need? And he said, I want my eyes to be healed. And the initial thought, I told you, I'm just being transparent here, okay? Because I believe that this is going to help you. Because the Spirit of God is always there to nudge you and to encourage you. My initial thought was, oh, man. This is a bigger deal. And then I immediately dealt with the thought. Said no. We're believing God for signs and wonders, and to see Him heal people, and we have seen it week after week. So I pushed that aside. And sometimes you have to deal with what's going on in your mind, right? But as you know, I've gotten to the place that before I lay hands on anybody, I'm just listening to see if the Spirit of God tells me something first about what to do. And so as I was standing there and just kind of focusing on what the voice of God said or was saying in that situation, what I heard, what he said, and this was so clear. He said, and this is one of the few times that I heard words. This was not a sensing, a knowing, a vision, if you will. I heard these words. And he said, will you trust me to do this? Now, right there is the key. Number one, it's not me that's doing the healing. It's not me that lives, it's Christ that lives in me. Peter and John, they said it's not by our own holiness that we had made this man to walk, but it was faith in his name. See? He said, will you trust me to do this? And then I heard this phrase. And I started kind of welling up with tears. He said, did I not tell you that you would see the glory of God? And that stuck with me all night. Did I not tell you that you would see the glory of God? And so for me, the moment that I laid hands on Seth, that settled it. Whether or not he had an immediate manifestation or not, it settled it that Jesus was handling it. But I couldn't get away from that. It kept ringing in my ears all night long. Did I not say that you would see the glory of God? Did I not tell you that you would see the glory of God? I said, I know that somewhere. Go with me to John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, Lazarus had died. And Martha, when Jesus finally went to go see them, verse 21, Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Blaming her brother's death on Jesus. I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask, God will give it to you. Now, she didn't really believe that. I'll show you that. Jesus said unto her, your brother shall rise again. And she said, I know that he's going to rise again in the resurrection at the last day. If you had been here in the past, and he'll rise again in the future, but she was not right now minded. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. You're believing, or you want your brother to be raised from the dead? I am the resurrection. I am. God revealed himself to Moses as I am. I exist. I am that I am. Not that I will be, not that I was. I am. Whatever you need in this right now situation, I am. Whatever is going on in your life, God says, I am. Amen. I don't care what it is. And so Jesus said unto her, I am. And in this case, the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And he says, now do you believe this? Do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She completely missed the whole point. Listen, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, brothers and sister, very close to Jesus. Very close to Jesus. They were, they spent time together. They knew that he was the Son of God. They knew that he was the Christ. But she allowed her doctrine and what she had been taught and what she was what she was hearing amongst the inner circle of Jesus to shield her from what the Spirit of God was trying to tell her in that moment. You need to always have ears to hear for right now. Don't measure what you're hearing based on doctrine that you've had. Listen to what the Spirit of God says right now, because he'll give you a word that is needed for your situation, specific instruction on how to act. But if you always take what you hear and then try to put it into the box of what you know, you're going to miss what God wants you to do, because he wants to take you from what you have known into greater revelation, into greater places, into deeper things in the Spirit of God. You don't know it all back here. You're always learning. We're being changed from glory to glory. So always be open to what the Spirit of God is saying right now. So she said, yes, Lord, this is what I believe. Not that you are the resurrection and the life. Not that I shall never die, but I just believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly. So, I mean, she was done. It was over her head. She was out of it. She went and called Mary. Jesus was not even coming to the town, verse 30, but was in that place where Martha met him. And so Mary, verse 32, when she came unto Jesus, saw him, fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, this is in John chapter 11. I want to tell you that all the way back over in John chapter 5, Jesus had spent some time talking about how he lived his life, how he operated in his ministry. He said, what I see my Father do, those are the things that I do. And it's not me that does the works, but it's the Father in me that does the works. I only say what my Father tells me to say. I live my life in obedience to what God has said. So to go and place blame on Jesus because he wasn't there soon enough. God, I was believing you for this. God, if you had given me instruction. God, if you had sent somebody my way. God, why didn't you send me the money? Whatever it is, if you had already done that. In other words, you want to blame God for your situation. And so you put yourself where Martha and Mary were, in a place of doubt, in a place of blame, and then they missed what Jesus was trying to say. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Look at verse 33. And Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled when he saw them weeping. Now, tradition would have you believe that he was being overwhelmed with emotion. He was being overwhelmed with emotion. But it wasn't emotion over the fact that Lazarus had died. Why? Because he knew what he was going to do. He said when he got up with the disciples, we got to go. I got to go raise Lazarus from the dead. So he knew what he was going to do. So he wasn't troubled in his spirit because he was upset that Lazarus was dead. He was groaning and troubled in his spirit when he saw the doubt and the unbelief that existed in the very people that was close to him. People that had been sitting under his word. I mean, Mary was the one that she said, look, forget about the food. I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to get the word of God. And Jesus said about her, you know, only one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good part. And we preach a great sermon out of that. You know, make the word first place in your life. But then, in the moment, after they had spent time with Jesus, seen the miracles that he did, they still did not believe. And so Jesus was troubled. Verse 34. And he said, where have you laid them? They said, Lord, come and see. And then this scripture, the shortest scripture in the Bible, I think it is. Jesus wept at their unbelief. Jesus wept at where they were. Of course, the Jews, they're still missing the whole point. Verse 36, behold how he loved him. Son of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Every one of them was blaming him. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, came to the grave. And he said, take away the stone. I don't believe he was very nice about it. At this point in his spirit, he was upset at the unbelief that was surrounding him. At this point, he was just ready to do the will of God. Take away the stone. Be bold about the things of God, saints. You don't have to have the agreement of everybody around you. Jesus had nobody's agreement. His own disciples, Thomas, said as he was going to Jerusalem, well, let's go, guys. We're going to go die with them. I mean, they had faith in dying. In this story, they were freaking out because Jesus was going back to Jerusalem where they had tried to kill him once before. And they said, well, I guess we're going to go die too. No faith. No faith in his disciples, no faith in the people that had been following his ministry. How frustrating could that be? But he knew his God. He knew his Father. He knew what he was called to do. And it did not matter what everybody else was saying. It only mattered that he believed and that he obeyed the voice of his Father. Take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said, Lord, by this time he stinks. For he has been dead 4 days. In other words, we might could have done this yesterday, might could have done this 2 days ago. There's a better chance. But 4 days, he's already decaying, he's already stinking. Are you sure you really want us to do this? She was nowhere close to even hoping that he was going to get raised from the dead. You think about that. She was more concerned about the smell that was going to come out than the fact that Jesus could possibly raise her brother from the dead. They were carnal. Now look at verse 40. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And that's what God told me last Wednesday. Did I not tell you you would see the glory of God? Now, when I went and looked it up, look at what was attached to that. Did I not tell you if you would what?
Believe.
If you would what?
Believe.
If you would what?
Believe.
You should see the glory of God. Listen, everything that the Father has promised us is accessible when we believe. When we just simply receive what he's done for us. Now go back with me to Revelation chapter 1. Verse 6. He's made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, look at verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and in the patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Stop there for a moment. John was exiled to this island called Patmos. It's a desolate island because there's actually a story that's out there. It's not in the Bible, so I don't know whether it's true or not, but it was handed down pretty close after the Bible was written that this emperor was so mad at John that he actually took him before a crowd and he dropped him into boiling oil. Only problem was the oil didn't burn him. And so when he got out, the whole place converted to Christianity, and that's not what the emperor wanted. And so as a result, he banished him to the island of Patmos. Now, while he is there, John gets this revelation. I want to tell you a couple of things, and I want to bring this to a close tonight. Do you know that Paul wrote a good bit of his letters while he was in prison? John gets this wonderful revelation, this wonderful vision while he's out there on this barren, desolate place called Patmos. Why is it that some of the greatest revelation that we have in the Word of God, Ephesians, Philippians, some of those revelations, why is it that they came out of jail time? Now, I'm not advocating that we all go to jail so that we can get revelation. Not what I'm saying. But there's something to think about for a moment. Everything right now that the Lord has for us to do as a church, as a body, is to help people get to the place that they are hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God on their own every day. Every day. That you know what you're supposed to do that day. Jesus knew every day what it was, where he was supposed to go, what city he was supposed to be a part of, when he was supposed to raise Lazarus from the dead. All of those things. He had specific instruction from God. Amen. We got to hear the voice of God every day. It's not good enough on Sunday, not good enough on Wednesday. Every single day. That is my heart's desire and my passion, is to see people hearing the voice of God. And that's what's going on. We're seeing more people hear God's voice, more testimonies of what's happening during the week. But I believe that sometimes we can get so distracted by what's going on in our lives, so distracted by work, family, problems, you know, finances, whatever it is, you know, somebody calls you up, text messages, Facebook, all of these things. We've got so many things that is vying for our attention that we can get so distracted. It's not that God isn't talking to us. It's that we're not listening. We're focused on something else. But guess what? When John found himself in a place that he didn't have anything to do but to pray. When Paul found himself under house arrest, when you're under house arrest, you don't have a whole lot that you can do. And guess what? He couldn't turn on the television, couldn't pick up the cell phone, couldn't text anybody, couldn't email anybody. I mean, he was just there. Well, what do? Paul spent time with God. Now look at this. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the Isle of Patmos. He said in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, traditionally, this has been taught that he was caught up into the Spirit on the Lord's day. That here I am, I'm just doing my thing, worshiping or whatever, and I'm called up in the Spirit. But this is a progression. This is a progression of events. He said, I was just in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, Lord's day could be Sunday, could have been the day he worshiped. Don't know, you know, that doesn't matter. The point is that he was doing something. He found himself where he was just in the Spirit. You should spend time during the day, during the week, being in the Spirit. Amen. How do you get to that point? Pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues. Allow yourself the time to allow the Spirit of God to search out the deep things of God and tell you exactly what you need for the day. For the day. Not for the week. Pray in the Spirit. Be in the Spirit every day. Paul said, if you'll walk in the Spirit, then you won't have to worry about fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Well, how do you walk in the Spirit? Not just go to the Bible and read it and figure out what I'm supposed to do. You walk in the Spirit. Those who are Spirit, they'll discern the things of the Spirit. And Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that's talking about the Spirit, and that the Father seeks those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. We've got to get out of our head. We've got to get out of the natural and get into the spiritual. Now, before you were born again, your spirit man was dead. But when you were recreated, when you were reborn, then your spirit became alive. And so by the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you are now in a position to stay in that place in the Spirit. And that's how God reveals things to you. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and you'll see visions and you'll see dreams. This is because of the Spirit of God. And it's not for just every now and then. John had a lifestyle. And as he's in the Spirit and as he's worshiping, he says, I heard a voice behind me that sounded like a trumpet. And when he turned around and looked, there stood Jesus, victorious. And he goes on to describe it, and it gives you chills, and we're not going to do that right now. But God started revealing him. Jesus started revealing things to him. Peter and John, as they're on their way, I mean, what were they doing when they saw the lame man that they lifted up? They were on their way to the temple to pray. You know, I've knelt beside my bed and started praying to God and worshiping God. And my phone will ring. And I'll say, excuse me, Lord. Look at the, if it's a customer, I've done this in the past, not recently. But I was like, oh, I need to take this phone call. What have I done? I've just elevated the needs of my customers or the needs of this person above the time that I need to spend with God. How did Jesus know what his assignment was for the day? You find all through the Gospels that he spent sometimes all night in prayer, fellowshipping with his Father. He did that. He had a lot of disciples, a lot of people that were following him. But the night before that he picked out the 12, he spent time in prayer. He needed to know which 12. Which 12 are going to stick with me? Which 12 are going to be the ones to carry this message? And of course, one of them was the one that betrayed him. But which 12, Father? You tell me. I need direction from God. Peter, was on the rooftop praying, and he entered into the vision. And God sent him to the very first Gentile to be saved. And at the same time God was doing that, God was revealing something to the man Cornelius. This is what the Lord impressed upon me. I want to bring this portion to a close. Before Paul started preaching, he spent 3 years getting revelation from God. We need to get to a place that we want to spend more time with God,
that's
saints.
Right. That's right.
We need to get to a place that we are praying in the Holy Ghost. We need to get into a place that we are walking in the Spirit. That's where revelation comes from. As you hear his voice, as you obey his voice. Don't discount, I mean, that's the wrong word. Don't take what's going on Wednesday nights and just always look forward to that and say Monday and Tuesday, that's regular work. But Wednesday, you know, I got to get my Holy Ghost jump start again. And then I can make it Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then we got Sunday morning all over again. Saints, I'm telling you, you can live in a place that you're walking in the Spirit. Jesus lived in that place every single day. Peter and John realized the importance of it when things got so busy in the ministry. And as people were on the increase, they said, we need to give our time to prayer, to fasting, to the ministry, and to the Word of God. They understood the importance of getting rid of the distractions and focusing on what God had told them to do. There's nothing in your life that is more important than your relationship with your Father, than hearing His voice. You can work for 35 years in one company and never get what God can do for you in 1 week's time.
That's right.
You can toil, you can labor, and you can work because that's what the world says you've got to do. But if you'll obey the voice of God, you will see the glory of God. Are you willing to believe? I'm telling you, that's just burning on the inside of me. Did I not tell you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Father, we believe you. Father, we trust you. Father, we thank you that your glory is being revealed in us. Come here, Jeff. Hallelujah. Wow. In the name of Jesus. My God. In the name of Jesus. Every artery, every vein, every blood vessel is made perfect. This perfect wholeness. No blockages, nothing. Hallelujah. And it's done. Let me ask you this. Did you feel what I felt right there? I mean, it was just, to me, it was so strong.
I'm not sure I really honestly felt that.
Okay.
I was just thinking God is done.
Well, it's done. Jeff had just called me yesterday just about some symptoms he had had. And the way that I prayed is what the Lord told me to pray immediately. So I just, I know it's done.
Amen.
Amen. So let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise. Does anybody else need prayer for healing tonight? Before we move on, I'm not going to close the service yet. I just like giving God space to move, you know? So many times we want to dictate to God, this is the way that our service needs to be. And God says, well, okay, but you're going to be limited in what you thought. I have so much more. Yeah, you up here for a reason? Oh, come here. What's up?
My heart, just like sometimes the valve will go the wrong way. And,
what do they call that?
Mitral valve prolapse.
They call it what?
Mitral valve prolapse.
Mitral valve prolapse.
It just gets hard to breathe sometimes.
Yeah. How often does that happen?
Like,
okay, well, stop getting stressed out. No, that's not, but you can be healed and stop being stressed out too, right? Yeah. Well, see, there's whatever the name of that is, there's a name that's above every name. So the doctors can create these long names to scare you, but it doesn't really matter. Just five letters is enough to take care of all of these letters, right? And that's the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So in the name of Jesus, everything about your heart, the valves, the whatever they call the disease, it doesn't matter. In Jesus' name, be whole. Never to do what it's done again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And yes, Father, we do believe. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I would ask you to test it, but there's not really a whole lot of things that you can do about it, right?
It was being really hard just announced.
What's it doing now?
Slow and peaceful.
Isn't God good? Amen. Well, I believe you'll never have another problem with it again. And you are made whole in the name of Jesus. No more pain. He will heal you in your bed of languishing. That's the word that I have. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Does anybody have a... do you have something? Come here.
My glasses, I've been wearing them for 4 years, ever since I was like 6.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. She's been wearing glasses ever since that she was sick. Not sick. Ever since she was... What? How old? Ever since she was 6. So you're ready to be rid of the glasses, huh? Lord's not going to leave me alone about this one, is he? That's great. That's awesome. That's not me. It's God anyway. Hey, so what is it? Is it nearsightedness, farsightedness?
It's nearsightedness. Yeah.
So. Well, how about let's just go perfect sightedness? Are you good with that? Take your glasses off. Oh, pretty eyes. Thank you, Father. Well, in the name of Jesus, eyes be healed. In Jesus' name.
I can't see my nose anymore.
You can't see your nose anymore.
I used to go like this.
Yeah? Now, did you have problems seeing far away before? Or what?
Sort of. They were a little blurry.
Okay. So still a little bit blurry? Is there anything... Is it better at all?
Yes, sir, it is.
It is better? Well, we expect it to be completely healed in the name of Jesus. Why don't you just kind of wait the rest of the service without your glasses on?
Yes, sir.
Okay? Thank you, Lord. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Does anybody have something to share that the Lord has given them? Maybe just two or three people. There's a supply, there's a gift, there's, you know, that you have. Every one of you have something, always. You know, but maybe God's just impressing something upon you for just this moment, for just this time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll give you just another moment. Very special what's going on here on Wednesday nights. You that are so willing to come out and be used by God and allow God to use you and talk to you and have ears to hear. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, you have something? There you go.
Okay, I was trying to find it, but I can't find it. But I'm just going to tell you, how it is, when the disciples asked Jesus who is greatest in the kingdom, and he said to become as the little children, and in the Amplified it says to be trusting of the Father, humble yourselves, to walk in love and forgive. And those are the whole things. He said, this will make you greatest in the kingdom. And the kingdom is now. And if we walk in these things, we're greatest in the kingdom. It's no big thing. It's just trusting him and walking in love and forgiveness and humble ourselves to his power, to his ways. And then we're greatest in the kingdom.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask my mother-in-law to come up here for just a moment. She's looking like, oh, no. Come here. I'm just obeying what the Holy Spirit says to do.
Amen.
And I could completely miss it. It's possible. This is the first Wednesday night that she's been here and been a part of what God's been doing.
Yes, so wonderful.
So, for a moment, just share what the Lord's been talking to you about for the last week or so.
I get nervous.
I know you get nervous. So, but you have something for us.
You can hold
that. I'll hold it.
Okay, I was telling Seth, it's a dishonor to Jesus for you not to believe what he has done for you. And you've got to realize that what he did a long time ago, but it still is true today.
Mm.
So with that in mind, I have found in my life that you have to learn how to command things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has already healed you. So when the symptoms come, you don't just always just say what the word says, which you do, but you have to turn around and you have to say to that problem what it is to be done with it. Like, for instance, if you have a cold, you say, thank you, God, you sent your word and you heal me, but that's not all you do. You say to this body, you are healed. I command you in the name of Jesus, cold symptoms, you leave my body. What needs to be bound is bound. What needs to be loosed is loosed. And then you don't take anything else but that to be your truth.
Amen.
So I just encourage you to honor him by believing what he has done for you. But remember, it's your job to tell that problem what Jesus has done. And then you put in health in your body.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, Jesus has kept me healed since I was 31. I don't mind telling you that I don't have to go to the doctor. I have not been to the doctor since I was 31, and I'll be 70 this year. But now you must realize that you have to watch your body. You have to be sure that what you do, and how can you say it? You don't let it slide. You don't say to the I've got a headache.
Yeah.
You know, you immediately do not let it stay.
Amen. I see, that's the kind of mother-in-law to have right there. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, Trey, come here. Yeah, you. Now, you came up for coughing.
Yeah.
So, how's it been since Sunday?
It's been a lot better.
It's been a lot better?
Yeah.
You can be honest. I just...
No, it has been. I mean, I haven't been coughing as much as I was. I know I can breathe better.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a positive thing. I can breathe better. I'm not coughing all over the place anymore, you know, so...
Still a little bit, though, every now and then?
Every now and then.
Every now and then?
That's when I'm waking up, though, but not really... throughout the day like it used to be.
Well, we give God praise.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, we
for,
do.
All right. That's good, too. I was actually giving him praise, not a high five, but that's fine, too.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we hadn't talked. I just, you know, this is, again, I'm for let's put God to the test in the sense that let's put pressure on his word. Let's believe him for what he said. And let's not just assume. You know, sometimes we don't want to ask those questions. Well, is it better? Because we don't want to hear, you know, well, what if it didn't work or it's not or what? It's not about me. This is about the real power of God operating. And if we're not willing to come face to face with it and just keep pushing things off, then you'll never see real miracles happening. You'll never have the confidence and the expectation to obey the voice of God when he says that you need to do something. Never be afraid to put that prayer to the test and ask that person, now, is it better? Listen, for me to even say that today compared to where I was a year ago is remarkable. But there's such an expectation now because I know this is what God has promised. Are you willing to believe? I say that I am. Amen. Thank you, Trey.
Problem.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. God's good. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Father, for what you've done here tonight. We thank you for the healing. We thank you, Lord. We just thank you for your love. We thank you for the words that have gone forth. Father, we receive everything that you have. We do believe, and we thank you that we see your glory. Father, be glorified in everything that we think, say, or do. Be glorified in this place. Be glorified in our lives in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Stand up with me. Glory to God. Every week, a little bit different. Just do what the Holy Spirit says to do. Amen?
Amen.
Say this, Father.
Father.
I believe.
I believe.
Father.
Father.
I believe.
I believe.
And I see.
Yes.
Your glory.
Your glory.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on, hug somebody. Bless them in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hug. And just go out rejoicing. Amen.
Amen.